Okay, the recorder has started, so I guess we'll start our class. In 15 minutes, we need somebody to raise their hand so we can go take a look at the lunar eclipse. It's worth it. We can take a little break for that. I will probably still get done early. Welcome everybody to the last session. Last time we left off with roadblocks and underground messages, assumptions, body language. Did we do body language?
Page 28, Roman numeral 3.
All right, so we're there. We're at part number 3, which I believe is the final part. Indeed it is. The last part for the last class. Good communication is a vital tool when problems arise in your relationship. Point A, once again, remember this is directed towards people who are not married yet. Those who have been married, doesn't really matter how many years, you realize point A is very true very soon, that problems will come. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed,
100%, that your marriage will never cease being the union of two sinners, which will at times cause friction. Both of you are not always going to have that Christ-like love for each other, that agape love, because you're sinners, you can't be perfect all the time, no matter what you think that you are. Romans 7:18-19 rings true. I know nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Paul's famous words to the Romans, which you feel a lot better when you hear the Apostle Paul saying something like that, that he too was a sinner and a saint, absolutely perfect in Christ's covered righteousness, but still struggling with his old man, his sinful nature that would never go away until the day he died. Two, the real problem is often not the problem itself. Problems become worse when we ignore them until they become larger than life. Problems also tend to drive us to despair when we falsely conclude that they can't be solved and won't ever go away, basically making a mountain out of a molehill. You put enough molehills together and you get a mountain. So B, follow your Savior's plan to solve the struggles of married life. One, remember that the problems are not a threat, I should say a threat, to end your marriage, but obstacles which the Lord promises you can leap together by His strength. Trust that He did not bring you together to frustrate you, but to bless you. Remember again that Philippians 4:13, you can make the addition and the correction. Instead of, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength, make it we and us. We can do everything through Him who gives us strength. There is no obstacle that is bigger than Christ. You can get through anything, no matter how bad. And especially when you have that committed love and you realize, okay, this might be a huge problem, but it's not going to end in our divorce. It's just simply not going to. You can go at any problem and overcome it. Number two, no matter how hurt or troubled you may be over the words or actions of your spouse, remember that they cannot rob you of the foundation on which your life is truly built. This doesn't mean that we deny that we've been hurt. It does mean that we learn not to let it destroy us. Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's an extensive list. I want you to take time now to read that through for yourself again and see what is covered under there. Just to marvel in the absolute completeness of the fact that no matter what, even if your spouse were to desert you, God will never desert you. So take a moment and read that through again. and right in the middle, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors. We don't just overcome, we overcome plus. In Christ. Number three, in your heart, seek the help of God to forgive your spouse, even though they may not have sought such forgiveness yet from you. You can forgive even without somebody apologizing to you. Colossians 3, 12 through 15, therefore as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Notice there that the illustration is that of putting on clothes, clothing yourself. Clothes are not a natural part of your body. They are things that you can take off and put on, but naturally they're not part of you. So too with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. You're not going to find any of those within yourself. You got to open up the Christ closet and take it off the hook. It's His compassion, His kindness, His humility, His gentleness that you get to put on. And over all of them, put over that winter coat to keep you warm, the coat of love. Forgive as God forgave you. Love as God loved you. If you're ever having a hard time finding any of that within yourself, it's because it's not there. You got to check somewhere else. And that's in God's Word. Moving on to the last page. Number four, while feeling the loss that the love and compassion you desire from your spouse may be temporarily absent, seek God's help to renew your commitment to loving, selfless service to your spouse. It's going to take God's help. You can't go it alone, and you can't just go at it rationally and try to make it an earthly issue. The issue really is sin, and there's only one solution for that. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Christ's love is our motor. That's what drives us. Number five, when you sought God's help to not let your hurt control you, seek in a caring way to let your spouse know that his or her words or actions did hurt you. Remember again, watch out for the fighting words. Use I messages instead of using your finger and pointing. Number six, remember that it is not admitting defeat to seek the help of another Christian who can help you find your Lord's path for your relationship. If anything, it says that you placed a high priority on the welfare of your relationship. Your pastors will be more than willing to help you find God's help and strength. Very important. Sometimes you're going to have a problem so big that you think you can fix it, and you realize you can't. Don't be cowards and say, well, I'm not going to take it to the pastors. We don't want to bring that up or trouble them with it after it's all. It's just about us being sinful and we shouldn't trouble them with it, or be too embarrassed that, oh yeah, we're in counseling. If anybody's been watching the show Desperate Housewives, you know, the big issue is that one of them is in marital counseling and nobody doesn't want anybody to know that they're going to see a marital counselor. It's a big secret. Don't worry about it. You're not admitting defeat. You're asking for help. And a good place to go is to go to God's Word. Number seven, throughout the difficulty, continue to draw strength from your Savior to seek your spouse's forgiveness and to give your spouse your forgiveness. Just as you have received forgiveness without limit, give it without limit. It's not an easy thing to do. It doesn't come naturally. This is all very well and good in theory and on paper. It's just remembering to do these things when things actually happen, when problems actually arise. Let's have that be our discussion here at the end. There's no discussion question here. But in everything that you read, I think it would be a good thing to break again into couples, to look over those that part three on how to deal with problems. Look through there, think of the last problem you had, major or minor, and talk through how you solved it or how you'd like to solve it in the future. Or if you haven't solved it, how you're going to solve it. So think of an issue you're having and then look through those seven and talk it over. I'll give you 15 minutes, maybe. Does that sound good?
Welcome back, everybody.
Anything that came up or that you'd like to discuss from your conversations now or anything that's happened in the class? Reviewing back, looking back over the whole course.
I thought it was a nice course. Yeah. It's nicer than what we had for premarital counseling.
The first part and the last part.
You were absent.
Is that anything like marriage?
Was the first part and last part?
Well, we didn't
all.
And it didn't have the pictures.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, because he was in California.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, I want more pictures, too.
Okay, I'll try. It's constantly under revision, Pam.
One thing Ron and I discovered going through this is that maybe the one thing that could help a little bit, too, is we're looking over our life together. We've been together for 17 years now. The majority of our issues and problems have come from the kids in one way or another. You know, either we're not agreeing with the way this is going on, or you know, that something at school is going on, or it's to do with the kids. You know, we're like, you know, gee, we got the 20-year-old who just moved back in now a year ago, and I'm looking at it this way, and Ron's looking at it this way, and we have to come up with a compromise in the middle, and then we have to sit his little butt down, and you know, and work it out with him that okay, these are our rules, you know, type of thing. Maybe, you know, this is a pre-marriage course,
right.
But let people know it's good what they're up against when you get to that point, because they, you know, that's the majority of our major issues that we've ever had in our life were because of the kids.
I see that with our friends too, where the friends, I mean, they just go along great, and then the kids come along and they're at each other's throats, mm-hmm. You know.
Just the constant disagreeing about how the husband wants to do something with them and the wife doesn't agree, or just things like that, and it's constant battle, you know, and it just, that's why they say that, you know, your spouse should come first, you know. So okay, the kids come between you.
We'll rewrite that when we have kids.
It's a big change because it was just the two of you before, and then you got somebody else, and all of a sudden the attention goes to this new little person. All the kids and all their after school things. Everything rotates around the kids' life nowadays.
We have friends that split up because of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they got two busy schedules to take used to.
Yeah.
See, Ron and I have never been alone together because we always had Chris. You know, because I had Chris from a prior marriage, so we've never been kidless. And we can't wait to be kidless.
I think Casey's still a little young to be pushing
that. Yeah, I know.
A good thing to keep in mind, too, that I thought back on, you know, I'm like thinking, was there anything about kids in here? And the one thing that said, you know, when kids come along, remember to keep your priorities straight. Mm-hmm. And I know. I'm already saying it, knowing that when it actually comes to the fact that you have kids instead of just a theoretical kid, mm-hmm. It's going to be different, but this means it's all the more important to keep in the foreground is that number one is God. Number two is your spouse. Number three is your children. And number four is your occupation at the highest. You can put other stuff before that. But so often you just see occupation take number one, or okay, maybe number two. But even if occupation goes to number two, or anything gets in front of your wife and kids at family, you're just creating problems for yourself. And I think the important thing to be able to do in this day and age is to say, no, we'd like to be involved in that, but we're not going to because we want to take time for ourselves. Take time for yourselves. Still date. Still, when you were dating, it didn't matter. You set aside time. You had a busy schedule, but you always made a priority for your, you know, person you were dating to actually set aside time for enjoying yourselves together. Mm-hmm. And even with kids, you still need to do that.
You just have to remind yourself or whatever.
Right.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
I think it's both parents when you get the new little kid, both of them spend time with the new little thing.
Right.
Yeah, we know this couple that live in Moses Lake, Washington. They're out on the farm. And three times she's going to leave, she says, first comes the work, then the kids, then the marriage. That's on the farm.
Yeah.
And she's about going crazy. But it can happen out there on those farms.
Sure.
I mean, there's so much to do.
Yep. There's always more you can do.
Yep, that's it. There's always more. And you get to go away. Who said you should set time aside for yourself because there's always work or
always.
Kids and they'll always be there. They'll never go away, so.
Right.
We kind of did set time aside, I think.
No, we did too. It helps a lot.
Oh, we're still working at it.
You're still working at it?
And you should always
stop. You always got to look at it.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, a guy at work, and he, and every single Wednesday night, he has a date with his wife. Mm-hmm. You know? And they make plans. They go out and they do something.
Mm-hmm. We do that. All right. Go out to dinner, go out to a movie, go out to something.
Yeah.
Is worth it.
We do like Thursday night. We don't do appointments. We stay at home. We can't do Thursdays.
No Thursdays.
Yeah. Just like watch TV and just like veg.
Yeah, really.
I remember time in front of the TV is not quality time.
I don't know. To me, it
but it can be a nice. I'm not saying it's.
On each other's shoulders.
Right. That's an enjoyable time. I like it when we.
Yeah.
When you fall asleep on the couch and you wake up, it's just.
Yeah.
It's not time communicating, but it's time together.
You can like hold hands and fall asleep on the couch.
Yep.
It's hard, isn't it?
Pam.
Galen and Barbara Carpenter, Barbara works with me at Kitchen Mart. They just recently celebrated their 100th month anniversary. Because Galen, from day one, every month on their anniversary, there's a card, there's going out to dinner, there's some little doodad. They celebrate every month anniversary. Like, so,
wow.
I keep knowing about you guys. I keep trying to tell Ron that too, and it's just not working.
Like, isn't that nice?
It's just not working.
I'll add that to the marital class before they even start.
I think that's a guy saying you gotta do something more than that. Notes, arrows. I don't know.
Well, I thank you all for your advice, for your participation, for being here every week. I mean, that's a commitment that's not always easy to make. And always showing up and contributing, and great discussions. I learned a lot. And I would hope that your marriages continue to grow and get even stronger. With that in mind, let's close with prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the gift of marriage. We thank you that you created Eve for Adam and put the two of them together so perfectly. And even after sin wrecked our world, Lord, your guiding hand still said marriage was a good thing and to be fruitful and to multiply. Lord, you've blessed all of us here with that gift of marriage. Forgive us when we sin. Forgive us when we take ourselves higher than we ought to. Forgive us when our selfishness and our own sinfulness puts up roadblocks in between us and our spouses. Lord, we ask you to continue your rich blessing on all of us, to wash us all clean with your forgiveness, and to give us the Holy Spirit to strengthen us in this difficult task of leading lives pleasing to you in a sinful world. May our priorities always be straight, and may our marriages always be strong. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks again, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.